welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everyone. How are you guys today? This is Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. Today, we have something a little different for you. Something really long overdue, in the sense that we have been wanting to talk about this for a couple of years now, but we really knew we had to get it right when we did. I know I talk a lot about my own kids and their TMS, but in general, teenagers have never been our target audience. And it's certainly not because they don't need these tools as much or often more than adults. In fact, I've heard from teens over the years, and I've also heard tons from their concerned parents and other adults in their lives who really badly want to help them. And we know it's important. We just didn't quite know how. You know, teens are suffering so badly with anxiety and migraines and stomach issues and so many other struggles. When Lisa first started producing the podcast, she had recently worked on a documentary called Chasing Childhood. And it was about the teen mental health crisis. I don't know if you saw it. It's really excellent. It was looking at the epidemic of anxiety and depression in America and its relationship to the relentless pressure that kids are under. Most of you listening already understand the relationship between perfectionism, achievement, and all of those qualities we know are the breeding ground for TMS, that type T personality that many different societies tend to push in our kids, even though we really don't mean to. And one of the first goals when Lisa and I started working together was to find a way to bring my work, these tools, to this demographic that needed solutions more than ever. But we just knew it wasn't that simple. And I think that's why it took us this long. You know, as a therapist and a producer, Lisa and I knew from professional experience that you have to talk to teens differently. And I would find myself trying to explain this to teens in different settings. And I was like, oh God, I'm falling short. I knew I was falling short and I wasn't able to communicate as clearly and effectively as I wanted to, because with kids, you have to find them where they are and break through to them and build credibility in a different way. And so this was just something we kept considering. And so cut to one night, Lisa and I are talking about all of this, and her teenage daughter, Kate, who at the time was 15, now she's 17, got involved in the conversation. First, she broke the news to us, which obviously did not come as a huge surprise, that the only people teenagers are going to get their information from is other teenagers. They're on TikTok, they're on all the places online, and they speak a language they all know fluently. So Kate, to her credit, sells us on the concept that the most effective messengers would themselves have to be teenagers, sharing their real experiences directly with each other. And this is something that is definitely mirrored in a lot of the adult letters that I get, because a lot of you guys say, this has changed my life profoundly. My kids have watched this change my life profoundly. And still, when I try to explain it to them, they are like rolling their eyes and shutting their doors. And I get it. I understand. So I was really like ears wide open for Kate. Like, tell us what you think we need to do. And Kate is an awesome kid. She's an actress who was already learning to produce her own podcast at that point with her friend. And she saw an opportunity and volunteered herself for the role as our official teen ambassador. And we just thought this was freaking awesome, like exactly what we've been waiting for. So we took her officially as our intern, and she has been working hard with us designing the tools and curriculum that are going to be available later this year for kids. So Kate and I decided to sit down and have a conversation, our first real, no bullshit conversation with a teenager about her TMS. And we recorded it last month, and I'm so excited to bring it to you today. And so this is what I want to ask of you before I open it up for the interview. Anyone listening, whether you're a teenager yourself, maybe an adult shared this with you, or an adult who knows one, please reach out to us after this episode, because we are looking to communicate and connect with young people about this work. So there are two ways to reach out to us after this episode. The first is to send us a speak pipe. So that is a platform that we've engaged that records your own voice messages for us. And a lot of times you've heard me feature speak pipes from different people on the podcast. So that is www.speakpipe.com/Nicole Sachs. NicoleSachs. So that's a way to leave us a speak pipe. You can record it and it's sent directly to us. The other way is to write me an email, and I will be sharing that with Kate and Lisa at njsachs@thecureforchronicpain.com. So one way or another, if this affected you, if you have questions, if you have curiosities, especially if you are a teenager yourself, please reach out to us because it is so important to us to carry this message. It is really exciting, and I think it's going to make a huge difference. So, all right. Well, without further ado, I give you my conversation with Kate.
Hello, everybody. I am here with Kate. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited for what we're going to do because it's new, and I like doing new things and exciting things. So thank you for being part of it.
Yay. I'm excited for new things too.
Amazing. Okay. All right. Let's start with the reason that I have Kate on today, and we're going to be doing a whole series of things this year, began as a result of the fact that over the years, I have had parents, teachers, aunts and uncles, coaches, so many adults affected by this work reach out to me in desperation, frankly, and say, how do I teach this to my children? How do I teach this to a young person in my life? Because they're suffering. And, you know, over the years when I was trying to build this message and, you know, just make the progress I was making in, you know, doing the podcast and the website and the YouTube channel, I never really had time to dedicate myself. I was also a young mother myself, raising my three kids, who are now 21, 19, and 15. So the years have gone on. And by the way, Kate is, you're 16, but you're going to be 17 in like 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. But we're going to call you 16, because that's what you are. And Kate is 16. She's in 11th grade. And so anyway, I was raising my kids, and I would hear from people over and over again, help me, help me. And so the best thing I could think of at the time was be an example, live this work, do the work, show the people that you want to influence that you're changing and healing and growing. And they would say, yeah, they're seeing me, they want it, they're doing a little bit of journal speak, but I can't really quite communicate it. And I remember thinking to myself, how the hell am I going to explain this to kids? I know how to explain it to my own kids because they are truly like swimming in the soup. They're living in it all the time. And so when I met Kate almost 2 years ago, Kate, as you know, is Lisa's daughter. She just seemed such a perfect person to bring on as an ambassador, as a partner in creating this, you know, message in the right way to give to teens, because Kate isn't only brilliant and smart and beautiful, and she really is, but she's also a person who has her own real no-nonsense TMS story. So Kate, before we get into any of the stuff we're doing together and with your friends and all the exciting things that are on the horizon, I want you to tell me your TMS story, because as anyone knows who is a listener of this podcast, we come on here and we share our struggles and our triumphs because it's so helpful in inspiring other people. So why don't we start with the stomach chapter of your story, and then we'll kind of move to the anxiety.
Wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I have struggled with chronic stomach issues for most of my life. I mean, I remember even when I was 7 years old, I would have like debilitating stomach pain, and I would go and lay on the cold bathroom floor for like 30 minutes at a time. It was the only thing that could bring me any relief. My parents were obviously very worried about this. I was taking millions of medical tests. I was always at urgent care at different doctors. I was doing all the holistic medicine things. I was like taking 50 ashwagandha pills a day. At one point, I was prescribed Zantac.
Not Xanax.
I was prescribed to take two Zantacs a day, but nothing was working. I remember my whole family was like rooting that I would have celiac because it would provide some sort of an answer to what was going on. Like I would wake up to go to school in the morning in fifth grade, and I would have to wake up 30 minutes early because the woman was coming to take my blood at my kitchen counter.
Before, wow. Like, I didn't even know that one.
No, like it's true. Like I would be like, ugh, not again. Like I'm going to get pricked early in the morning. But,
Well, and I want to say something just because, you know, I know a lot of people come from different backgrounds of what they think is best. And Kate has two parents. Her one mom is like Lisa, who at the time before she met me and also just, you know, out of abundance of caution was doing all the Western medical stuff. Mm-hmm. So Kate was living like a double life. She was having like every possible GI test known to man. And then her other mom, Martha, was like super holistic. So that was like supplements. And yeah. Like, what did you have to go to like holistic?
I mean, I had to go to holistic. I remember I sat for like 6 hours with this doctor who was like giving me like a massage. And like, and I was taking, I still take like spirulina pills. It was just like, it was just a crazy combination of everything. And then we did all these blood tests and the only thing that came back was that like I'm a little low on vitamin D, like everybody.
Oh my god, I can't even imagine how much vitamin D.
I was popping vitamin D pills every day. But I think like when I really think about how bad my stomach issues got, that really makes me think about TMS is sleepaway camp.
Yes.
Which I went to for 3 years, summer after second grade, summer after third grade, and then summer after sixth grade was when it was really bad. And I was not someone at this point who liked to be away from home. I would get terribly, terribly homesick. I would sob, like it would send me to the infirmary because I would be like ill over how much I did not want to be there at all. And I remember in the last couple of days of camp when like you think that like you're over all of the difficulty, I felt like I was like dying with the stomach pain that I had. Like it was like I had stones in my stomach. Like I couldn't believe it. And my mom got there for visiting weekend and I couldn't even be there any longer. Like I was desperate to get out. She took me home from visiting weekend a day early because I could not spend another night at the camp. I was in such terrible pain. And even in the beginning of that, it was 3 weeks at sleepaway camp. It was like a performing arts camp, which should have been very up my alley.
I was going to say, Kate is an actor. Kate is not afraid to get on the stage.
No, I mean, that's like, I love it. I do as many plays and musicals as I can. But I remember I had my audition in hand the first day of camp. I was singing On My Own from Les Mis.
Great song.
And I'd been practicing it and I felt like I was ready when I was in LA rehearsing. And I'm standing beneath the audition room and I'm like looking up the stairs and like I'm supposed to go in and I'm holding my music and I was just like, nope, like there's no way, I can't do this. I'm too nervous. Like my stomach started to hurt. I just really didn't want to. I remember I called my mom and I didn't want to disappoint her. Like I didn't want to disappoint anyone. Like theater's supposed to be my thing. I wanted it to be good. And I was scared that I wasn't going to get a good part. I was very nervous. And so I said to her on the phone, I was like, yeah, like, I don't think I really want to do a musical. Like, I'm just not really in the mood. Like I do it all year long. I'd rather try something else. I did Project Adventure every day, like to get out of doing the musical, which is so, it was just so untrue. Like I would have loved to do the musical, but I just started to feel so sick. And I was like, no, I can't do it. I went to the infirmary that night. I remember the nurses at the camp were like getting mad at me because they like that nothing was really wrong other than the fact that I was just like laying in bed. And I was like praying that they would think I was sick enough that I would get like shipped out of camp.
So let me stop you for a second and talk about that, because I know a lot of parents who initially are going to be the ones bringing this information to their kids, because I think most of the audience for this podcast is adults, can really relate to the pain of parenting a kid who is in this level of distress. Because anyone who is hearing this story is obviously going to say, well, of course, Kate's stomach aches are related to stress, anxiety, and whatever else. But no, rarely do people know how to live in the solution. That's mm-hmm. what I'm hearing a lot from people. So we're gonna get to that. But I want to get underneath this a little, because one of the things that's been great about working with Kate and getting started on this whole adventure together is that we were talking when we were prepping for this podcast, and we were saying the pain is holding space for things that perhaps you didn't know that you had to think about. And so we started identifying, you know, I was like, well, Kate, obviously you had this terrible stomach aches. What was your stomach feeling for you that you might not have been able to identify and feel?
I think that the stomach pain came from a lot of anxiety of not being the best in a given situation. I was looking at that audition room and I was like, I'm not going to get a good part. Like, I'm not going to sound good. I'm not going to do well. And that's going to be even more disappointing than if I just give up entirely. Right. I was really terrified of anyone in my life not thinking that I was the best that I could possibly be. And so therefore I became terrified that I would not be the best. Like, it was about what my family and my friends would think of me, but because I was always hearing like, Kate, you're so good at this. Kate, you're the smartest. Kate, like, you're so wonderful. I really started to think like, oh my God, if I'm not wonderful and I'm not smart and I'm not going to get a good part in this show, then like, who am I? No one's going to like me. I'm not going to, like, there's not going to be anything of Kate. And so that would just make me feel really sick. And then that stomach ache would give me a way out of the situation. You can't get mad at someone for having a stomach ache. Like, it's not my fault that I feel sick and I can't do this now and risk not being the best.
And I know there's also a couple of things that we identified that were happening in your life that you also said could have been filling the reservoir, because Kate really understands the whole reservoir concept and she's really helping me and Lisa figure out how we can communicate this to people her age. But what were a couple of things we discussed? One I know was something that happened when you were young, maybe fifth grade, mm-hmm. where you were not allowed to tell, right? And this is something like I think is so important to call out, because not every story is ubiquitous. Not every kid has this experience, but this is one type of experience that could really cause a kid to have TMS.
Yeah, I was in fifth grade. I was 11 years old, and I happened upon some information that I had just held as a secret for about 7 months. And when I finally told that I knew what was
an authority figure
that I knew what was going on, that authority figure told me that I wasn't allowed to tell my parents what was happening. And so I had already been keeping the secret for 7 months. And now this authority figure, and I was 11 years old, so like, what was I supposed to think, was telling me that I had to keep the secret for even longer. That caused me a lot of discomfort, really, because I was uncomfortable that I knew what I knew, and I was uncomfortable that I had to continue to act like I didn't know what I knew. And that caused me a lot of anxiety and stress. And I feel like I didn't even really register how much pain that situation really caused me until later, when I was doing this Journal Speak work and I had to think about the past triggers and mm-hmm. the current triggers and the lists that you have everyone do, Nicole. But
well, that's so important though to say. And that's another thing that I think is going to be part of our message as we, you know, continue to craft this and really help kids crawl out of the horrible morass that you're describing, that so many kids find themselves in. Because if you're not a stomach ache person, you're a headache and migraine person, and God knows there's enough, you know, clinical pathological anxiety to go around with everyone in the teen set. So like, it's just important to identify the fact that Kate had this situation happen, and because she banked it in her reservoir, it doesn't necessarily mean that something catastrophic today has to happen. Sometimes if you're up to here, proverbially, with your reservoir, and I, you know, obviously you guys can't see me, like my hand is like up at my chin. If you are up to here, you know, it just takes one more drop to have your reservoir spill over and have like a panic attack or, you know, a stomach thing or a migraine. So it's like, one thing that was great in our conversations and in Kate's Journal Speak work was her ability to identify these things. And I did we have one other thing that we identified that was like maybe a major reservoir contributor? I think this is important to call out, because so many kids are living with divorce. And my parents were divorced. You know, obviously Kate's parents, well, I guess obviously,
considering
I'm with her mom, hopefully, like, unless we're polygamous. So I think that, you know, and I love both of Kate's moms. So there's no hate, no shade here, but the natural consequence of divorce for Kate at the time, an only child, is this push and pull of parents wanting the kids' time and attention. And I can't help but think that the whole custody thing and having to move back and forth between houses was also a contributor, this whole thing of like, I have to be the best, I have to be shiny, I have to be perfect, because they each were always saying, I want you. Like, come to me. No, come to me. Right? That was a big thing.
Absolutely. No, that was like the biggest thing from when they got the divorce when I was three till a couple of years ago when I got a little too annoying for everybody to fight over. But no, really, I mean, that was like the fight. Like, I'm not getting enough time with Kate. No, I'm not getting enough time with Kate. Well, I'm going away for 2 days, so I should get your Wednesday and Thursday. Well, and I just like really grew up in this atmosphere of like, every day counts, like every hour counts, or there's going to be a big fight. And because of that, I think I was not necessarily that I think my mothers wanted me in this position, but it was a position I was kind of forced into of being a bit of a peacemaker, because I really didn't like the conflict and I didn't like that, like, I was the reason for the conflict. And yes, I think I also felt like, if you're fighting over me so much, like,
I must be
pretty wonderful. I must continue to be wonderful.
Yes.
And I think that that was also really stressful, and a lot of my stomach aches came from that, of kind of having to worry about what this mother would think and what this mother would think, and like not wanting either of them to think that I wanted to be at another house more, or with another parent more, like, because there was also always a lot of that of like, well, you told mommy this, and well, like, you just want to be with mama because of this, and like, there was a lot of like me in the middle of that, and that was definitely something from my childhood.
And here's the thing, like, obviously not everyone's a child of divorce, not everyone's an only child of divorce, meaning like Kate has a sister, but at the time, you know, she doesn't have a sister from her same two parents. And I think what's really important to call out is this is just very normal, boring human drama. Like both of Kate's moms are like incredible and loving and amazing, and Kate's awesome, and everything is just like so, I mean, I hate to say boring and run of the mill, but the reason I say it is because everyone has problems.
Absolutely.
Everyone has problems. Everyone has stress. Everyone has reasons to bank things in their reservoir, which is why it's so important to help our kids. And you know, Kate is going to be such a great ambassador for this with her own voice and bringing in her own friends, which we're going to get to. Help kids understand that there is a reason that your body is exhibiting this stress for you, because like Kate so articulately said a few minutes ago, if you feel like you're not going to be good enough, and you feel like being good enough is your literally your survival, then a horrible stomach ache, who could blame you for that? And I think that like we look at our children and our kids look at themselves and they don't want to be sick. It sucks. It's so safe in the unsafest way, as I say. You know, it's about helping kids understand that not only is this actually a fake posture of safety to have migraines and stomach aches, but to understand that it's not their fault. They haven't created it. They're not being dramatic. The pain's not in their heads, but the solution is never going to come from one more doctor's appointment, one more diagnosis, one more supplement, one more procedure. Like it's so important. So, okay. So let's move on a bit. I want to talk Kate. Okay. So we identified that Kate had terrible stomach stuff as a young child. But then I said to Kate, when do you think the stomach aches ended? And I remember it was like a light bulb went off over your head and you go, right when the anxiety began.
Absolutely.
Which is so fucking typical TMS. So say a little bit about that transition, what you noticed in yourself.
Yeah. And it's funny because when I said it to you, I was like, it was right when the anxiety began. But like, really, I mean, obviously the anxiety was always there. I was just having the stomach aches instead of really feeling that anxiety. And then it was The summer after ninth grade, so I was...
I had just met you.
I had just met you. I was 15 summer after ninth grade. Yeah, I was 15. And I just remember something happened in my life. Like, I was having, like, a friendship thing. And when this happened, I got really sad and, like, anxious and upset. And I thought to myself, I was like, oh my God, I've really never had like this feeling anymore. Like, it was a real like depth of emotion that I'd never experienced. Also, my best friend, Sienna, was like going to move to Norway. And so I just had like a lot going on. And instead of getting a stomach ache like I was so used to, and like I probably knew was happening when I would get a little bit anxious, that wasn't happening. I was just like really like feeling these emotions. And I was really feeling this anxiety, like just as like the raw anxiety, not like covered up by any chronic physical.
How did that, was that scary?
Definitely. I think it was scary. And I think it was like upsetting, but I mean, it was also just like, okay, so it also was like a light bulb. Like I was like, okay, this is something new. Like, what does this mean about me? Like, I remember I was listening to music. I think I was listening to Ivy by Taylor Swift. Okay. Taylor Swift fans out there. And I was like, oh my God, I'm really connecting to this song. I'm relate. Like I remember lying on the floor of my room, like just feeling tortured, being like, this is so weird. I've never felt like this before in my life. Like, I'm so upset. And it was so different than like what I had felt from 7 years old to 14 years old, of just like this, like stomach ache, like this, like, oh, like panic.
So the stomach ache moved to the anxiety. And I know from talking to Kate, since she's been doing her journal speak and since she's seen such a shift, that probably in the rear view, when you realize your anxiety before journal speak, that it was really keeping you stuck. Mm-hmm. Like, because I know that it's one thing to feel deep emotions, but it's another thing to feel like you are physically so anxious. Because I hear this from kids all the time, that the anxiety is so physical that it makes them feel panicky, that their heart races, that they feel like they can't. I know you've had this experience where you're like, I literally can't do something. Mm-hmm. Like, you become stuck. Like,
no, stuck is exactly the way I would describe. Like, I felt stuck. Like, I remember talking to you, Nicole, and I was like, I just want to cry. Like, I wish I could cry, and I can't cry.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, I couldn't have like a real release of emotions at all. Like, it was just like, I was feeling all these things, but they were like pent up, and I was like stuck with them.
Yes. Okay. All right. So just so interesting, because whenever I interview anyone who has TMS, they come in with their success story, and the first thing they say is, well, the moment I identified my symptom syndrome pain as TMS, I realized, oh my God, I've been having TMS my whole life. It was those, you know, headaches as a child, or if it was those panic attacks in teen years, you know, these are adults. But Kate was like, I can't believe it. The stomach aches left the moment this crippling anxiety began. So when I met Kate, it was in this space of this anxiety. And I know, Kate, one thing you said is when your mom and I met and we started working together, what you were always hearing around the house.
I mean, it was just constant, like TMS, TMS, journal speak, journal speak. I was like, what the fuck is TMS? What are these letters? Like, this is so weird. But I mean, it was like constant. Like, I was hearing it all the time, and my mother was like obsessed with it, and it was Nicole's whole career and her whole life and everything. And so naturally I became interested in it, especially because it seemed like it was all about what I was feeling. And because the feelings of anxiety and like stuck and not being able to cry and like sadness are such uncomfortable feelings, like I obviously wanted those to go away, and I wanted a way out. So
yeah, and that's the reason why Kate really became this first teen ambassador that we're bringing on, because not only was she uniquely positioned being the right age and curious, she really had something to work with. And so that's kind of where you find us. Like, we're going to talk a little bit about Kate's progress thus far, which has been incredible. And her insights on journal speak have really blown my mind, because it's so interesting to watch it work so well in a kid who needs to experience things maybe slightly differently in the way things are explained to an adult. And we're in the space where she's working through it. 'Cause I mean, clearly there's no cure for the human condition. There's no cure for human pain, and there's no cure for anxiety, because anxiety is necessary. I mean, anxiety functions in human beings to keep us safe. It's kind of like when we're always telling you, listen to your intuition, right? You get like a hard no about something. You feel a little uncomfortable, like a weird person walks in the room and you're like, I should walk out. Like, we want people to follow those cues. So anxiety is necessary, but crippling anxiety, stuck anxiety, persistent anxiety that's getting in the way of your life is obviously not. So Kate and I were talking about why we think kids today have such a freaking like crazy amount of anxiety, in addition to obviously somatizing. And we kind of landed on stomach issues and like headache migraines as being the things that she sees the most in her friends. And obviously kids can have all sorts of different chronic symptoms. And I know that like breakouts and skin issues flare when you're stressed, and cold sores flare when you're stressed. And you know, I had horrible back pain as a kid. So, and I know one of Kate's friends has back pain. So, you know, it's everything, but it's, oh, anxiety is a big one. And like, one thing I wanted to ask you about, Kate, is what is your impression of this like social media generation? Because I know that the obvious stuff is there, which is like, you know, you compare yourself to other people or whatever. But you said something that was really fascinating, about never being out of reach. Yeah, say more about that.
Yeah, I think the issue with social media and why most teens experience anxiety from it is because it gives us the ability to be in constant communication with others, like Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, texting. There's just millions of ways you can contact someone, and especially there's millions of ways someone else can contact you
Right. And track you.
and track you. I mean, it's just like everyone is everywhere. You know what your friends are doing all the time. There's Snap Map, there's Find My iPhone. You know where your people are. Your people know where you are. Like, everyone, there's nothing is a secret with social media. That's really what it is. Like, there's no ignorance is bliss with
Right.
social media. Like,
There's
you
no
know what's
break
going on.
without having to like know that someone's like, where the fuck is Kate? She's off the radar.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I think also, I mean, just as we know, like when you get a like on a certain
Yeah.
platform, or someone shares something, or someone's reaching out to you, like that is an exciting feeling. Like, oh yeah, someone wants to talk to me. Someone like thinks I would enjoy this. And so then you subconsciously begin tracking how much of that you're getting, how many people are texting you, how many people are snapping you, how many people are sending you TikToks or Reels or whatever it is. And then when you're not getting that, you crave it more. And then that feeds your anxiety of like, why today
Right.
is, are these people not communicating with me? What did I do? Did I say something wrong? Are they mad at me? Like, social media just can really feed that particular anxiety, which I think is so universal, the like everyone hates me anxiety. And I think that
Yeah,
that's.
and it's so illuminated in the space of social media. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's like a very major thing, because you know, I find myself to be relatable. I'm not a person that would alienate, you know, young people, and I love parenting my teenagers, but I definitely think there's part of this I like honestly don't understand. Like, it's really funny. So Charlotte is my daughter, who's a year younger than Kate, and they're like the cutest, bestiest of friends. It's like the best thing to watch. But anyway, Charlotte yesterday went to get boba after school with her friends, and her phone died. So she texted me from her friend. She's like, can you come get me? I said, I'll be there in 15 minutes. And you should have heard her voice. She goes, but my phone died and they're leaving. I'm like, okay, so you can sit there for 15 minutes. I'm like, in the 80s, I had to sit for 2 hours because my parents didn't know where I was and I couldn't get in touch with them. And it's just, what's funny to me is you guys don't get that, like, and maybe I don't get that there was peace in that. Like, I complained. I was like, Mom, Jesus Christ, like, I'm sitting on this corner. And she was like, I don't know. I thought you'd be done in 2 hours. And there was no way to call her. Like, the school building was locked, there was no payphone. And so, like, I had to sit there. Literally, I like this happened to me more than once. And eventually they would show up. And I think every 80s kid is shaking, nodding their head, because it happened to all of us. But there is a peace in like, nobody can find you. Like, nobody can track you, or and I just think you guys are just living in such a different generation of being constantly amused, like like you never have to be bored. You always look down at your phones and also constantly track. I think all of it creates just like so much anxiety. And so I love it that we're doing this together and we're working with your friends and we're going to learn so much.
Great.
So, okay. Next thing I want to talk about is starting to craft the message about explaining to kids and how you're doing it already in the small group that we've created with the Reservoir. Like I know what's great about Kate is that she's really sharp and she gets things quickly. And so I explain things to her. She does her own journal speak, and then she explains this to her friends. And this is what we're creating. And we're going to do a teen mini retreat that we're announcing that is going to bring together anybody interested in starting to do this with Kate and Lisa and me. But how do you explain best to your ability? And I will of course help you if you need it. The Reservoir, and how do you explain to your friends, like when you sit down with your friends and encourage them to journal speak, which she's been doing, how do you explain like why we are channeling our emotions into physical pain and conditions?
Right. So when I think about the Reservoir.
All right. So Kate just made me pause it because she wanted to say it right.
And I'm not letting her.
I want you to ask the question.
Okay.
So how do you perceive it? And then
The way I perceive it is the Reservoir. I mean, when I think of the Reservoir, I actually think of it as like a beaker. I think that's maybe because of the way that you described it to me and not just my subconscious thinking, but I think of it as like a beaker in your stomach.
Yeah. Like
in your torso or whatever. Yeah. And when unfortunate things happen to you, when bad things happen to you, your triggers or your trauma or whatever it is, situations that make you uncomfortable, rather than dealing with them, you have the ability to just pour them into your reservoir and they kind of just can sit there. And as more things happen, you continue to pour it into the reservoir. And then obviously, as water works, it gets higher and higher and higher. And overflows.
Okay, what happens when it overflows?
When it overflows, that's when you can kind of have those big feelings. Like, is that like when everything overflows, that's when you have like the freak out, the like anxiety attack?
Okay, so you're so close. And okay. So I like us doing this. Mm-hmm. And I apologize for not letting you be perfect. But this is the good stuff. So what Kate described is obviously we have the reservoir of like the three categories we use for the list. So childhood experiences, like past trauma, daily life, school, friendships, relationships, family stuff, and then personality characteristics, perfectionistic, goodest, criticizing yourself all the time, codependent. Okay. So all of those things are reasons that we channel things into the reservoir. So let's say, for example, you get into a fight with your friend and it reminds you of, you know, the millions of times that you didn't feel heard in your life, or you felt misunderstood. Well, that's like dumping a cup into the reservoir. That would be the daily life thing. Okay. So what Kate was saying is you have the ability to put things in the reservoir. So I'm going to tweak that language just a little bit and say subconsciously, you are not thinking to put it in the reservoir. It goes in under the cover of darkness of your unconscious. So you just think, oh, this is so annoying. I don't even want to go to school today and face her, right? But what's happening is in your unconscious, it is, this is unbearable. This is awful. I'm in despair. I'm enraged. I'm terrified. Like those big emotions that are quote unquote unacceptable, they get channeled into the reservoir. When it reaches maximum density and it threatens to spill over and inform your conscious mind of how terrified, enraged, despairing, grieving, you know, all these like really big, shameful, all these big feelings, it threatens to inform your consciousness of this. And what happens is your nervous system sends up a fire alarm and says, no, 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 no. She can't survive this. Mm-hmm. This is this amount of big feelings is unsurvivable to her. Speak. And it channels into the stomach ache. It goes directly there. It channels into the headache. It channels into the panic attack. It channels into, I'm so stuck. I cannot do my homework or whatever it is. That's the TMS. The TMS is that, quote, safe space that is holding these. And immediately upon getting the stomach ache, what happens is the reservoir lowers down because you are, quote unquote, in control. Even though you hate it, you're going to lay on the bathroom floor, or you're going to another doctor's appointment with your mom, or you're going to take your supplements. And even though that is safe in the unsafest way, your nervous system perceives that is safer than these massive big feelings. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were so close.
Almost there.
Almost there. Almost there. So I want to talk about your own journal speak practice, because clearly the point of journal speak is we dip a ladle in the reservoir, yep, and we spill it out. Good stuff. So talk to me about your first journal speak experience. I know that it began when you were getting ready to leave for a summer program. And we were thinking about this. We were thinking about this project that we're doing together. And I was like, Kate, literally we need to teach this to teens. And you were enthusiastic about coming on board. So I explained, the reservoir for you, and I explained, what was going on and how it used to be stomach aches, and then it turned into anxiety. And I said, why don't we, and I explained journal speak to you. So I guess the first thing I want you to do for me, how do you understand journal speak? What is the voice of journal speak? What is the purpose of journal speak? And why is it different than journaling? Because you have been a journaler.
I've been a journaler, and I know, because I've been a journaler, that journaling and journal speak are very different. Because when I would journal, I would be I would really think about every word that I was putting on a page. It was almost like I was preparing that someone was going to read this, it was my biography. Yeah. I really cared about what I put into this journal. Journal speak, on the other hand, after it had been explained to me by you, I think of it as the most dramatic voice, the most kind of emotional, every single thing that you would never really say out loud, but you maybe kind of question mark feel.
That's a question very
mark,
important
question maybe mark, because it's oftentimes not really the truth. Your most dramatic voice, that's what journal speak is to me. I really go at it crazy. Yes. And because, as we've established, I'm a theater person and I can really tap into that theatrical side quite easily. It feels like it's a throw. That's how I like to describe it to my friends, a throwing up of emotions. You're barfing all over the page, basically.
Yes.
I was getting ready to leave for my summer program, and I remember I was nervous to go away for a month.
Mm-hmm. But not like you used to be.
Not like I used to be at all. I was just oh, new place, new city. And I was also reflecting on the year that I had and having my angsty 16-year-old, oh my God, my life. But I really was feeling kind of anxious about things. And I was this is the perfect time to try journal speak. And I was sitting in my little bed that I had over the summer, and I opened up my computer to my notes app, and I just started. And I think the first sentence I wrote was, I'm sick over every single sentence I started was I'm sick. I'm disgusted. I'm frightened. I'm furious.
Yeah,
I really went at it. I really, really journal spoke. And after I did it, I remember it was just kind of a sigh of relief. Every single thought that I've had that's been pent up for the past month or however long, I finally just wrote it down. And it was really late, so I don't even think I actually erased this journal speak, which is good for what I'm about to say. And I just kind of I went to sleep.
But a lot of times you do erase it.
Every time since then I erase it. This is just my first journal speaking that I looked at the next day. I read it over and with my fresh eyes, and I was I don't really know about that one. Sure, a little bit true, but I don't really know if that's all completely true. But nonetheless, in saying it, mm-hmm, even if it wasn't all true, and even if it was so over the top and dramatic, it felt like a relief. It felt like a cleanse of emotions. And for that night before I went to bed, it was just, I was finally, it was a weight had been lifted off of me of all the words and the thoughts that I hadn't been saying. And so that was my first experience with Journal Speak that was like, okay, like maybe Nicole's not bullshitting me after all. And ever since then, when I
you've been doing it 4 days a week.
I've been doing it 4 days a week since what, August?
Yeah.
So I've been doing it 4 days a week
pretty
for a
consistently.
While.
And she's not perfect. Like, no, a week I'm or not two perfect. You miss, like, but like, you yeah. really have been pretty.
And, but I'll and I will feel the difference when I miss my Journal Speak. Like, I'll like know, oh, I definitely should be journal speaking now. Like,
yeah.
You feel like the you miss that cleanse. And now when I do it, it really is, it's like, and not every time do you have to be in some sort of despair to journal speak.
No.
I think that's the biggest thing. Like, sometimes I can have a great day and I'll sit down at my computer and I'll be like, today was so great, like blah, 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 and really just like speak and not filter any thoughts. Like, sometimes I won't know what to say and I'll write, ugh, please come. I'll write in almost all of my journal speaks. I think I've written the phrase, come on.
Right.
Like, I just I mean, a lot of people like write their journal speak, but
writing or typing it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've heard people say, oh, isn't longhand like more of a connection to your body? And I don't mean to disparage that. I just personally don't care. Like, I think typing it out is, for me, just as powerful.
Yeah. And it definitely is just as, I mean, not that I've tried it writing, but it is powerful for me. And sometimes I'll like do the journal speak. I'll like read it quickly, or sometimes I won't even read it over.
Same.
And I'll just delete it. And then it's immediate. Even when it actually feels like a magical thing, and I'm being so serious and I just like want to be believed because I'm so serious, that while I'm doing this journal speak, it's like, oh, like, oh my God, I actually feel better. Like, I actually feel better. Like, I don't feel anxious. I don't feel stuck. And I don't feel like I need to.
And you
to
can look, cry now.
And I can cry now. And I also don't feel like I need to, like, break down, because that was the other thing. Like, I would go months without crying. And then, like, Nicole, you remember we were standing in my kitchen and I was like, I had been grounded, warranted, but I was grounded and I was just like, oh, my life. And I just, like, broke down.
You had a freak out.
Sobbing. I had a freak out. And then again, like, I had another freak out like a few months later when
This is before you were doing your journal speak.
Way before I was doing my journal speak. Like, before, I barely even knew what journal speak was. And so now, like, it doesn't feel like it's that kind of chaos of emotion, like where I'm stuck or I'm having a breakdown. Like, I can do this and I can feel the relief. And I can feel like I can cry if I want to, but I also can like just kind of feel okay about things. And like, that's
amazing.
Wonderful
and I know it's been a minute since you've had a stomach ache.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh,
I,
for sure.
And I know, but like, your anxiety has really shifted. Like, I see a difference in you.
My anxiety has really, really shifted. Like, it's almost like what Journal Speak has given me is this ability to kind of zoom out.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when I have the most anxiety is when I feel like I'm really stuck in exactly what's going on. And like, I have tunnel vision and the only thing I can see is like right in front. Hello? The only thing I can see is what is right in front of my face and like I think is immediately affecting me. And then I'll do my journal speak and I'll say all that. And then with the words on the paper, instead of like swirling around in my head, I can look at it almost from a bird's eye view and be like, it's okay. Like, life goes on. Like, everything
right.
is going to be fine. I don't need to have this anxiety. I don't need to feel so stuck in this situation. And that's what's and now that I have this tool, I can kind of like get ahead. Like, I can of the anxiety that I would feel. Like, even last night, I was on the phone with my friend. I received some unfortunate news, and he said to me, he was like, Kate, like, are you okay? Like, are you upset about this? And I was like, honestly, like, I'm not upset. Like, I haven't even really registered it yet. Like, I feel like that wasn't positive for me. Like, I'd rather have just like felt the way I felt immediately. But I was like, it's like, it hasn't really hit me. Like, I've had that stuck feeling. And I got off the phone and it was like 1:30 in the morning, but I opened my computer and I just like did a journal speak.
Amazing.
And then
I'm finding this out with you guys.
No, I know. I wanted to keep it as a little surprise for the podcast. And I did this journal speak and then I was just like, it's okay. Like, it's not that bad. Like, nothing is that bad. Do you know what I mean?
Gives you
like,
perspective.
It gives me perspective. Exactly. That's what I mean in zooming out. Like, it gives me perspective. And so I really feel successful.
This kid is taking to it. And what's so important, and I think you guys are understanding why I've chosen Kate as this ambassador is because she's just really, really willing. Willingness. And that's what I want you to help me get across to people, that your the kids, is like, there is a solution that is real, and we're going to get to your friends in a minute, for your physical problems, for your anxiety, for your panic attacks, for your other weird, odd symptoms that you don't understand. Like, why am I getting like itchy eyes and eye infections? And why am I, you know, like my knee injury is healed from my soccer thing last year. Why do I still have knee pain? You know, this is the reason that kids are on opioids. And I mean, this is like the genesis of the horrible opioid epidemic in our country, in our world, is because so many kids were prescribed opioids for injuries that should have been healed that have become TMS because of everything that we know from what we discuss in this podcast. So I love your willingness and your willingness to really go the fuck there, which mm-hmm. is really important. Talk to me a little bit about your friends. Another thing I want to appreciate about you is Kate is such a boss. Like, she has these, so we have what, 1, 2, 3 of your friends are actively involved mm-hmm. in our little pilot program right now. And I love, we got on a Zoom, we had a Zoom on Sunday with them. One of her friends lives, her best friend lives in Norway. And so she's participating from overseas. And Kate's like asking them about their consistency of the journal speak. And they're all like, yeah, well, you know, I was going to do it. And then I didn't get to it. And she's like, all right, guys, you're going to do your journal speak. You're going to do it 4 days a week. Like, you're a boss. You're a boss. But talk to me about a couple, and we don't need to get into reading text messages and stuff, because mm-hmm. I actually don't think we have that prepared. Yeah. But like, just some impressions you've heard back
yeah.
from your friends who are doing this.
I mean, should I talk a little bit about like what the issues that they have?
Sure. Just yeah. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, I picked these three friends because these are three people that I know kind of have the whole spectrum of chronic pain.
TMS. Yeah.
TMS. Excuse me. Like my one friend, she has the stomach aches
and the
migraines. Yeah. And she says to us, like, and me and Nicole, when we first like were getting them initiated, she was like, I either have a stomach ache or I have a headache.
Like every day.
Every day. It's yeah. one or the other. And so I was like, check, perfect. You're right. my best friend, she has a lot of anxiety, and like it's really just like that. She doesn't like have it. She used to get really bad migraines. But like me with the stomach aches, it's now more of an anxiety thing.
Yeah.
So she's in. And then with the last guy, he like has like the more like eye infection, like he's had this eye infection for 2 years, and he's always in 10th grade, like before I knew really about this that much, he would say to me like, oh my God, Kate, my knee. And then the next day it'd be Kate, my hand. And then Kate, my shoulder. And Kate, my leg. And Kate, my stomach.
Aww,
and
I he's know, such a good guy.
He's so sweet. I feel bad. But I would say to him, not knowing at all what I was saying, I'd be like, but just like from hearing it around the house, like I said, I'd be like, you definitely have TMS. You need to talk to Nicole.
Right.
I was like, because I can't explain this to you right now. But now
you can.
I can explain it to them.
Right.
So I picked these three friends, and we had like a sit down. We had a dinner with them where we explained journal speak, mm-hmm. and they went.
And
off.
Lisa and I were at that dinner,
yeah.
so we started out. We helped them.
Yeah,
we helped
Kate
with her
with my pitch. And if I'm being so brutally honest right now,
please
with you,
do.
Nicole, I was like, yeah, maybe they'll try it. Like, there's no way, like, they're really gonna like sit down and like do this journal speak for me. Like, there's just they're like I couldn't really foresee them being so committed. They go do it. They seem very interested at the dinner, but they're also very polite people. So like,
right.
there's no way they were gonna be like
adults.
Fall asleep
right.
in front of the adults. But I receive my first text message from Eitan the next day. Kate, holy shit, that was mind-blowing. I can't believe it. Like, that was so, like, eye-opening and cool. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I obviously could believe it because I had the same experience. But, like, I just like was like, oh, my God, like, this really, really, really does work for everybody. So then Ivy, like, calls me, and she's like, oh, my God, Kate, like, I literally, after our conversation, I sat in my car, and I did the journal speak, and it was amazing. And then she's telling me about how she was in lit, and, like, she was literature class, and she was bored, and she just starts, like, she took out her chemistry notebook and starts, like, journal speaking really tiny, like, in class. And Sienna's been doing it, too, and, like, everyone is just saying how, like, and Sienna has been saying how she also feels that just, like, immediate relief of anxiety, and that
Sienna's the one who deals with the anxiety.
Sienna's the yeah. one who deals with the anxiety. Sorry, Ivy, the literature journal
is the stomach,
speaker, is
yeah.
the stomach and the migraines. And so
it's just been so cool to like hear how this is really, really working for them. And they're definitely like very early on in their journey. We, as Nicole was saying, we had this meeting where we were discussing their progress and they were sharing their process and then also sharing like some of the issues resistance. That they've had with that and some yeah. of the resistance. And they all came back with like really wonderful insights, I think. I think Ivy was saying how sometimes, because I asked a question, I was like, are you ever journal speaking and you stop or you give up before your 20 minute timer goes off? And Ivy was like, sometimes I do when I feel like I am just kind of journal speaking for the sake of journal speaking and I'm not writing about what's actually bothering me, like because I'm avoiding it.
Yeah, she actually knew she was avoiding it.
She knew she was avoiding it. And that was so cool to me because that I really get. Like sometimes like it can be scary to sit down and like write about something because then you're giving that anxiety power and like you're like saying you're validating that like this is an upsetting thing. But that's like what you have to do with the journal speak. And that's what I told her. I was like, you just have to like say it. You have to put it out there. And the thing is, like Nicole, you've been saying, and like we've been saying today, that just because you write it doesn't mean that it's true. Oftentimes it's not true. So sometimes you just have to like go there.
There's a nugget of truth mm-hmm. in it. Like, mm-hmm. like one of the things I think about is our journal speak voice is just a toddler. It's our inner toddler. So if you see a toddler before dinner ask for a cookie, a toddler who is just cuddled up and loved up on their parents and mommy and like all these things, they'll throw themselves on the floor, they'll kick and they'll go, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. I mean, like an hour later, they're cuddling up in your lap. But in that moment, they hate you. Mm-hmm. They want the cookie, you won't give it to them, and they freaking hate you. But because a toddler does not have societal norms yet and politeness and hasn't been told that they're not allowed to speak, they say that, they get it out. They just get it out and then they can feel whatever they feel. We don't, our inner toddler has been silenced. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it is. So yeah. when Kate says it's not true, yes, you like it has a nugget of truth that you have to walk through the door of that truth mm-hmm. to get to the fact that it isn't true. All right. Well, I want to say this has been such a delight, our first podcast together. So good. And as I mentioned, so Kate and Lisa and I, in addition, hopefully Eitan, Ivy, and Sienna will all be able to come as co-ambassadors for this. We are creating a teen mini retreat. So it will be live on Zoom. And we are going to be talking about TMS theory in the voice of teens and young adults. So I'd say between the ages of 13 and 22 would be like the target audience. And so we'll be announcing that. And I'm really excited because it's really an opportunity for us to begin with the most, quite frankly, important people, the people that are could nip this in the bud early mm-hmm. and not be the hordes and hordes of people that come to me and say, it's never too late. I'm 50, 60, 70, 80. I've been dealing with this for 20, 30, 40 years. Like, it's so not necessary to have this stuff like take residence in your body and become a disorder and become your identity. So I'm just so super excited about that. And I'm excited about everything that we will do together. Kate is our ambassador and also creating content with us. And also we are going to, you know, find a way to disseminate this information in a way that people can really hear it and receive it. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Kate, for having me, Nicole. This was so much fun. Yay.
So fun. And the first of definitely many.
Good.
All right. Till next time, as always, this is Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye.